Who are your major influences in music, and are they necessarily singers?
That's really interesting. I always feel lost for words when people ask me who my major influences are, because it's been so diverse and so over such a long time. I suppose when I was a young teenager, I was heavily influenced by soul music. For some reason, I was attracted to that music, and I went out of my way to go and buy albums by Otis Redding and Sam Cooke and Aretha Franklin and all kinds of people. And at the same time, I was getting into Joni Mitchell and all those people. And then, of course, when I went to the con, I started listening to more jazz and definitely not just singers. I went through a phase where I just was absolutely in love with Wayne Shorter and just listened to everything he had over and over again. And there was one album that I particularly loved, which did have a singer. It was called, I want to call it Private Dancer, but it's not Private Dancer, it's Native Dancer. I'm getting Tina Turner mixed up with Wayne Shorter. Yeah, Native Dancer with Milton Nascimento singing. That's a beautiful album.
When did that come out?
I can't remember, but it's probably the 70s, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. But it's such a beautiful, subtle blend of instrumental and vocal. And, I mean, Milton Nascimento makes a lot of sounds that are not words. And it's just, which I was doing a lot of at the con, so
yes.
I could relate to him. But yeah, just such a beautiful album. And yeah, my influences, God, and it just keeps going.
Well, what about your own album now? I mean, tell us about how that came about, and, you know, you've got some fine musicians on this album, and tell us about the process there.
Well, it was originally commissioned by the Jazz Track program on ABC Classic FM. And so I did, in a sense, I did have a bit of a brief, which has influenced the overall feel of it. But I feel like it came out really well as a piece. I think it's a lovely journey. And I suppose within that brief, I really just thought, okay, I need to pick songs that I love. I wasn't writing a lot at the time, so I didn't really have a lot of original material to draw from. I do now. I'm writing quite a bit now. In fact, I've just left my piano to come here. I'm hoping to finish a song which I started a couple of days ago. But so yeah, just picking songs that I absolutely loved and that I really felt that I could sink my teeth into. Lyrics are really important to me. I really feel like I have to be able to relate to the lyrics and be able to make something out of them, because aside from making a song your own in the way that you improvise, it's really the way that you express the words, and you can't do that unless you're really feeling what the words are about. So lyrics are a really important factor.
I was going to ask you a little bit more about that later, but when you're filling out a form and it asks for occupation, do you put down singer-songwriter or jazz singer or artist or musician?
I put musician.
Musician?
Yep, that's all they need. If they want to ask me more, they can ask. I'll tell them.
Well, you've picked a very appropriate piece for the first track off your album tonight. It's called April After All. Tell us about this one.
It's a song that a friend of mine put me onto, actually. He heard it and thought that it would suit me, and I loved it the first time I heard it. It's written by Ron Sexsmith, who's a beautiful singer-songwriter. I love really sweet, simple, slightly sad songs, and this is one of those.
Who's in your band on Tuesday night?
I've got a great band. I've got Hamish Stewart on drums. I have James Hazelwood on bass. I have James Muller on guitar, Jared Masters on keys, and I have Alana Stone and Vanessa Baker singing backing vocals.
Alana Stone singing backing vocals.
I know, it's funny, isn't it?
Isn't that? That is a band. No, but yeah. Especially James Muller and Jared Masters.
Yeah.
Recently I was down at, I can't say recently actually, I can't remember when it was now, but it was when Chico Freeman was out at the Wine Bank, and Jared Masters was his piano player for that one night only performance, and they played Resolution, And Gerard Masters just took one of the most brilliant solos I think I've ever heard from a piano player.
Yeah.
And I emailed him the next day and told him, and he was quite appreciative. But
yeah.
I think he almost stole the show from Chico that night.
Yeah, I love playing with Gerard. I really do. It's such a refreshing experience every time. And I really feel as though when I'm playing with Gerard, things go to a different place. I mean, it is with everyone that you play with. I play with Matt McMahon a lot, and that's equally beautiful, just in a very different way.
Mm.
So, yeah, but yeah, everyone's got their special thing.
Now, there seems to be a renaissance in the popularity of female jazz singers as a whole when you're looking at it internationally. What do you think's driven this?
I guess people are just looking for something to identify with that's a bit more, maybe for a slightly more mature ear than a lot of stuff that's been out there. Not meaning to put down music that's been out there. I mean, I'm making vast generalizations without really being specific about what I'm generalizing about. But yeah, overall, I suppose it's got something to do with that. I suppose people want to hear something that's less aggressive, perhaps. More something that allows them to come to the music rather than the music coming and hitting the listener over the head. But I don't know. That's just my guess.
Especially in the last 7 or 8 years, I suppose, people like Diana Krall and Norah Jones and many others. I mean, Diane Reeves was out here last year. She's doing very well. Cassandra Wilson, another album out at the moment, and all very, very popular jazz singers as such.
Yeah. I think people relate to singers probably more easily than they'll relate to music that doesn't have a human voice on it, just because we all have a voice. But I also think it's probably just people yearning for a bit of subtlety. Yeah.
Charlie Parker once said, "If you don't live it, it won't come out of your horn."
Mm.
Does this phrase, do you think, relate to singers as well?
I think that I have to be careful how I put this.
Being a singer with heavy soul influence, I suppose, when I think of what Charlie Parker said in that statement, that's the sort of thing that he's talking about.
Mm.
You know, that rough, tough, hard life that he had, and it was coming out of his horn.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that you can have a much more tame life than Charlie Parker had and still have a whole lot of deeply felt things, emotions, feelings, whatever, that come out in your music, I think, most definitely. And I think it's pretty clear to the listener whether someone is coming from the heart or not, whatever they're on. Probably, like I said before, it's probably easier to tell when a singer is being genuine or when a singer is not being genuine, just because people relate to the human voice. But if you live it, then it probably will come out of the horn. But if you don't live it and you try and make it come out of your horn, I think people can tell.
What's with you? Now, You've seen Mose Allison a couple of times, but why did you choose this particular Mose Allison piece?
I love the simple melody. I mean, it's quite a quirky set of changes, actually, the way it changes, the harmony, sorry. But I love the lyrics. Again, it's got that kind of cleverness that Mose Allison is really good at.
And the dry sense of humour.
Yeah, very dry. There's always something in there, you know. You think it's an innocent little song, but no, it's not.
Mm.
It's a Mose Allison song.
There's another one on its way, is that correct? Or
another album?
Planned?
I'm writing it as we speak. No, but there will definitely be one. I hope to start recording it before the end of this year.
And will there be any significant change in direction or...?
Definitely more soul rather than jazz, in inverted commas. I mean, I'm still going to be playing with jazz, people from the jazz world. It's going to be, But my writing is definitely moving in a soul direction, soul/jazz/ who knows, lots of different stuff mixed in there. It's evolving. It's an interesting process.
Now, some of the jazz standards that you cover just during performances, Vienna. Do you choose your repertoire based on your own life experiences and emotions?
It definitely needs to be something I can relate to. And I've got to say, when you're singing jazz standards, I suppose you do end up singing a lot of lyrics that could be seen as a bit twee, but there's a way of making that sound really poignant, as you would have heard on many great recordings, like you know, Billie Holiday singing What a Little Moonlight Can Do, ooh, 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 What a Little Moonlight Can Do, you know, I mean, it's nothing.
Mm.
It's a bit of fluff, but it really is in the way you sing it with jazz standards, I think. I suppose because a lot of them do come from musicals, you know, 1940s musicals that were fairly light viewing. So I suppose bringing them into the jazz context gives them a whole different weight. So yes and no with jazz standards. I find it, you know, you can really make something out of a fairly simple tune, fairly simple set of lyrics. I usually look for a beautiful melody and set of chord changes in jazz when we're talking about standards.
Mm. Now, if you had to assemble your dream jazz band, living or dead, who would they be?
Look, I really value the rapport that I have with the musicians who live in Sydney. And I think there are all kinds of people around the world whose playing I really, really admire, but it's really about relationships. I've really found that. And you can listen to someone and think they're amazing, and then you get to play with them, and for some reason it doesn't work. Something missing between the two of you. So, and that may change, it may not. I don't think that's necessarily a fixed thing. But it's definitely about relationships for me. And that's really precious, being able to play with the people I play with. It's about how we gel.
You mentioned before your occupation as a musician.
Mm.
What do you enjoy most being a musician? Do you enjoy writing music, performing it? Or recording it?
I love recording. I love the craft of recording. But recording is just a split second of your life. So even though you've then got this great thing that you can send out to all kinds of people and people can have it to play at their leisure, it's still, you know, it's satisfying for that moment that you're doing it, and for that reason that it can go where you can't go. It can be in many places at one time and you can't because you're just one. So I love actually performing live because I do that a lot, you know, and I love the fact that I'm in the moment all the time when I'm performing live, and that's something that most of the stuff I sing when I'm live, well, I'm always live, but most of the stuff I sing, I'll never hear again. No one will ever hear it again.
That's jazz.
Something about that I really love. And writing, I love the sense of satisfaction that comes from completing a song and being able to go here. Bring it to rehearsal. This is a song I wrote, and everyone plays it and goes, "Oh, that's great! Yeah, it's going to sound really great." But you know, you end up spending a lot of time alone when you're writing. So there are things that are great and not so great about all of those things. You know, sometimes I have to go out and sing, and I don't really feel like it. I want to stay home in bed, or you know, everything has its good and its bad.
Does writing come easy to you?
I have to have time for writing. I can't do it in a rush. And henceforth, when I'm writing, I spend quite a bit of time alone. So you end up not seeing your friends so much, not going out. Like if it's a beautiful sunny day, it's like, well, I'm sorry, it's a writing day. So
it's quite purposeful for you. You don't. It's not spontaneous where something comes into your head. Gee whiz, I've got to get to the piano.
It's both of those things. In fact, it's usually a continuation of that spontaneous moment. You have that moment, and then if you're serious about completing that song, you really, you know, need to sit down at the piano or wherever you write. But I need to sit down at the piano, and regardless of what's going on around me, otherwise it'll never get finished. There's always something to distract you.
Vienna, thanks very much for being my guest in the studio tonight.
Thanks.
Thanks and good night.